recorded live.
Welcome to the virtual talk show for the married man, produced by the head of household. This is Tony Hawkins, and I'm your host for the night. We welcome you every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. The virtual talk show for the married man always presents the hottest topics for discussions and for guys. This is your big chance to voice your opinion on a custom tailor-made form, especially for married men. WNJRNewark.com listeners can call and participate on our live talk show discussing by logging on to www.talkshoe.com and click on the Listen Live button. Well, men, welcome again to another talk show. One main rule we have is no profanity whatsoever, and you know, we got to respect people's opinion, and we don't want to make light of anybody's current situation. But anyway, tonight's topic is, if you all haven't received the email, if I had a crystal ball. And I think that's simply, if you could go back and have a conversation with yourself after being married with your wife, how would that conversation go? How would it take place? What advice would you give yourself moving forward into the marriage, if there was such a thing? I'm feeling pretty good about my wife right now, so I don't have much on it. I'm going to let it simmer for a while, but would anybody like to get this thing fired up?
Yeah, I will, Mr. Head of Household. And I'd just like to say that if I had a crystal ball, I would want to know, you know, how difficult marriage is, how challenging it can be. And if I were to give myself some advice, you know, many moons ago when I got married, I would say, you know, I would probably say that it was nothing that could have talked me out of it. You know, I have no regrets, you know, to this day, 10 years later, you know, thank God. But, you know, it was nothing. If I could have gave myself some advice and say, yo, I mean, this is going to be really hard. You know, you better be up to the challenge. This is not for the faint at heart, let me tell you. But it was nothing that that could have talked me out of it. You know, so I would say, you know, if I had a crystal ball, I would want to know, or I would have wanted to know how difficult marriage can be.
Wow.
Not only the difficulty, but good grief, you're talking about just the difference in opinions when you're talking about marriage, man. You never think of what is really true about marriage, because when you first go into it, when you first get ready and you want to give her that ring, your nose is wide open. So you're not thinking clearly. I don't think all the way. You're thinking about all the positive things you can grow with this woman, but you're not really checking out both sides of the coin, the good and the bad.
Okay. Good words. Most of us go into a marriage, and forgive me if I'm saying this the wrong way, kind of selfish, and it's all about us. And that's actually one of the things that we have to address if we have to go back and talk to ourselves, where we have to talk about compromise and talk about letting them have their way more times than we would like them to. You know, can anybody reflect on the conversation that you'd probably have with yourself in reference to selfishness, and it's not about me all the time? Because I think that most of us had to learn that in our marriage journey.
Selfishness is a big thing, man. I mean, because you going into marriage, you always think of how you want it to be. I think you don't really communicate how the other person wants to be. I mean, I don't think in all marriages, and I'm probably one of them, that you go in setting standards and communicate, you know, I was born from a two-parent household, you know, slash However, my wife is born from a one-parent household, single parent, and you got different views on things. I think, you know, that selfishness of disciplinary, if we have kids, who's going to be the disciplinarian? Who's going to, which way are we going to follow? Who's going to take care of the bills? I don't think we think about that or discuss that at the beginning.
I think you're right.
Selfishness is a big part of it, man. I mean, straight from the beginning. I mean, especially if you get married young. Think about it. When you're married young, you still want to hang out with your boys every once in a while. You know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, think about it. If back before you were married, you'd have to have a conversation with yourself, saying, "I guess what? You're gonna have to cut off half of your boys. Half of your boys, you're not gonna be able to hang out with anymore, especially the single ones."
I can guarantee you, when I first got married, it was not that way. Not at all.
Okay, but now what?
I almost got rid of almost all my friends. I mean, I have acquaintances now. But, you know, it's kind of tough when you grew up with all your boys all your life and all of a sudden, you know, they're not top priority in your life anymore.
No, not at all. Not at all. And then you find yourself hanging out with other married men. With, you know what I'm saying, other married couples, and that's acceptable. You know what I mean? So that's another thing you think back. Like, man, somebody would have told me that I would be this guy, hanging out with other married couples, maybe having dinner night, maybe movie night, doing stuff with the kids. I don't know if I would really want to sign up for that.
Hey,
think about it. Go ahead.
No, you're right about that. Because, I mean, let's think about it. It's a sign of being soft. Out to the peanut gallery. Let's just call it how it is. It's a sign of being soft.
Okay.
That's the first, you're giving up your, I don't think even when you get married at the beginning, and for some men it may take longer than others. You know, you still don't want to give up some of your playerness.
No.
You want to kind of keep that card a little bit. Because you don't want to seem soft to some of your friends that are still single, or you don't want to seem soft to the guys who got married before you, who tried to explain you get ready to go in this situation.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're like, I ain't gonna get caught up in anything like that.
You're right. I mean, think about it. We have been trained to look forward to going to Home Depot as married men. Now, prior to that, we could probably say, okay, happy hour, the first Fridays, whatever it is that's popping, that's what we want it to be. But now it's like, okay, we look forward to getting the toolbox or buying some lumber or home projects. You know what I mean? And just imagine if you could go back and say, well, dude, 5 years down the line, you know, you're going to be, your joy is going to come from getting a new saw or getting a new racket, socket wrench or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And Patrice, you there. I know you already there. Because when I come over to your house, you always show me your tools. You say, man, look at this one I got. And I got a ratchet for this. You know what I'm saying? We have been made to appreciate being these homebody kind of persons. Does anybody else agree with that?
I think for me, what I guess kind of surprised me about the whole thing was when you get married young, you don't understand what the rest of your life means because you haven't had any life. And all of a sudden you get married, especially, like I said, if you get married young, and you don't understand how restricting that can be. Because you think, like you say, you can come and go as you please. You can have your boys, you can have your buddies, and you know, you can do this, and all of a sudden, those things aren't right, and a couple of kids come popping out, and you turn around, you know, at 25, 30 years old, and go, man, is this what I really signed up for? I don't think we realize what the rest of our life and how much of a change it's going to be when we say I do. I think that's a shocking thing, especially when you do that young, or even if you've been out there, you know, in a game a long time, you know, and then you get married, and, you know, it's expected that you know what that means, but most men don't.
Oh, we don't. But we will compromise, though, at the beginning. We will compromise. All right. For instance, you know, let's just say, all right, we got married now, so I'm not going to go out as much. However, I don't have a man cave yet, but I'll have a night where the boys come over and we watch games or we play cards at the house. So you start inviting your friends over to your house, which makes your wife uncomfortable because she goes upstairs because she sometimes don't like all your friends.
Yeah, that doesn't really go over well most of the times anyway.
No.
Especially if you don't have a man cave yet.
Yeah, but we will try. I know I did.
Mm-hmm. That's short-lived, though. I think that's short-lived. And I think after you've been married for a while, it's kind of not cool to continuously have your boys come over, especially if they're rolling in without their wife. You know what I mean? Because then your wife's sitting around talking about, well, you being entertained and I'm not, you know. That's another thing that but the kids is another thing. If we sat around and talked about this responsibility of raising kids, and if we could go back and have that conversation of how difficult it's going to be, where, you know, you got these kids that when they're young, they love you, daddy, 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 want to hug you and kiss you and be around you, and then they become teenagers, they don't want nothing to do with you. You know what I'm saying? And you're sitting here, and then you're telling them what to do, and they're like, yeah, right, whatever. And then they're playing you against the mom and all these other things that come into that. You know, you might not want to sign up for that, because that right there can be painful. You know, that in itself is something that would probably scare me away if I had to go back and have that conversation again. Probably would have. Anybody else got some kid issues?
That's another one of those things that we don't understand what the rest of our life means when we have kids. I mean, your whole life changes. And your whole life, well, I shouldn't say that. For a responsible man, their whole life changes. Because, I mean, we do have some of them just drop and walk away. But for a responsible man, when he has kids, I mean, everything from that moment is no longer you can be selfish. No longer can you focus on you. And, again, that's something that you cannot explain and you cannot understand. It's kind of like as a kid, when you're growing up, you know, I remember when I finally moved out on my own and got my own place, I was shocked that you actually had to pay for water. You know, you don't have a grasp of these things because you have no paradigm, you know, to deal with that. And kids, for the rest of your life, you just can't grasp that. And you know, if I had to go back, you know, that'd be a different issue. You know, having kids, making sure you're ready to do that instead of, like, I had mine real young. So, you know, that's a big thing. And again, I don't think you can ever understand that, you know, as a 22-year-old having a baby.
Mm-hmm. Good words. Good words. And I guess it would be the same information that you would give somebody that's getting married now. You know, just kind of telling them what the deal is and what to look out for. And the problem with that is some is going to listen and some isn't. Like, you know, pretty sure there was people trying to tell us what to look for, you know, what to expect. And we were so hung head over heels about getting married. It's like, yeah, yeah, I hear you. You know, but some of us want to learn the hard way. And it is the hard way. It is definitely the hard way. And that's pretty much why we've been on these calls every Tuesdays, because we're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, we're still trying to figure the ups and downs and the ins and outs and how to be a good husband and a father and how to, you know, really master this thing. And I don't think there is a way that you can master it. I just think it's something that you just have to learn to hang on, you know, and don't lose your head and get better so you can give somebody else the information. So.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we really haven't, we kind of just glossed over earlier, is the compromise piece. And, you know, as someone said, you know, it's, you know, when you come into a marriage, you are selfish. And in a happy and successful marriage, you cannot be selfish. I mean, it's oxymoronic, because you have to compromise, and it's a lot of times where you may not want to compromise, but for the betterment of your relationship, of your marriage, you may have to swallow your pride. And I think that is probably one of the toughest things, you know, as men that we deal with is, you know, the whole compromise factor. And I think somebody, you know, mentioned it earlier, but it is tough, especially when we're like, oh, I'm just not, you know, feeling this decision or this, you know, plan of action or whatever, when we're like, okay, you know, I'll do it, you know, just because you're my wife or whatever. But I think that was that's something that we could dig a little deeper as far as the whole compromise piece.
But is that part of just seeing the crystal ball that sometimes I don't think I ever saw it at the beginning? And if I could look in the crystal ball now and say I had to swallow some of my manhood, no. If I'd have been ready for that, knowing that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's a reality now.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
reality,
once you're in it,
you know,
it's reality. You actually gone through so many arguments, you ain't given up.
Yeah. And that's where the conflict arises, is that, you know, it's like, you know, should I swallow my pride on this one, or is this, you know, something that, you know, I should really stand up for? You know, it's like that's the whole conflict, the whole back and forth, and that's, you know, that's where it comes from. Like you said, if you would have known that up front, you'd have been like, wait a minute now, I don't know if this is, you know, if I'm there yet.
You know, one thing I found out is, you know, the deal really changes, especially when you get married young. The deal changes after you get married. And I think women kind of know that they're not going to be happy with us living the way we're living. But we don't have a clue. We just think we're going to be able to keep on, you know, balancing everything and doing the things that we like to do. But I think the women in their mind are thinking, uh-huh, but once I marry him, that's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we men think about, you know, once I get married, I'm going to change that woman. But I think there's a lot of women that get married and say, okay, I'm going to put up with this, but once we get married, I'm going to change him. But I don't talk to a whole lot of men thinking about, I'm going to marry her and then change her.
No. Mm-mm.
But do you think we know about that when we go in, though? Because I think that was one of my defense mechanisms is that, all right, I'm married now, but I don't want her to change me. So I'm going to argue so I won't have to change. And I believe I made the situation a little worse.
By not changing or by changing?
By not changing at the beginning. By arguing.
Yeah. So.
I didn't want to give up my manhood at the beginning.
So it's safe to say that we change as married men.
Oh, yeah, we change.
Sooner or later, we change.
If you don't, you won't be married.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do the dance, pretty much.
I mean,
you have to do the dance once you get married.
The trade-off can be great.
Yeah.
It's a real positive thing. But you know, if we look at it as a negative, it can really be negative.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things about us that we need to change.
Yeah.
We don't need to be at some of those places.
You're right.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just, it's not always what we're ready to do.
I think that goes on through marriage. There's probably some things right now, you know, 17 years with my wife, and I still don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
That I know I have to, but I've been fighting it. I don't know why, but I have.
I mean, we don't want to give up everything. I've given up a lot. I've given up a laundry list. You know what I mean? And like Andrew said, most of it is for the better. You know what I mean? And some of the things that I used to do, I don't miss them. Because now I got a whole new list of things to do. You know what I mean? But that's the good part about it all, is that that's the growing process that this marriage thing takes you through. Because there's no way that I could have had this conversation prior to this point, and I would have agreed to any of the changes that I've made now.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't have agreed to not one of them.
You're not the only one, man.
I wouldn't have agreed to one of them. I mean, it's true. You know? And
but I have to say, they women compromise, too, because there's some things that my wife had to get used to that she probably is just not used to. One of that is just me having my little own space on my side of the bed. You know. My wife is a neat freak. So she has finally given me that one little space. It's not even a 2x2 where I can drop my clothes and pick them up later on in the day and hang them up.
Yeah, but I think getting back to what Tony said earlier is that one thing about it is that if you could have looked in the crystal ball and saw, you know, that it's just you and your wife, you know, you kind of hanging out with the wife, you know, after the marriage. And, you know, if you do hang out, you're hanging out with married couples. And, you know, the one thing that was key that he said is that he doesn't miss not hanging out with his boys anymore, his single fellas. I mean, am I right about that, Tom?
Oh, 100%.
But you said that had you saw it in the crystal ball, you'd have been like, oh, no, this ain't going to
work. Oh, no, I'd never agreed to that.
Yeah.
I'd have said, that's a setup. I'm not getting set up.
Yeah. And that's the whole
that's
thing about, you know, what you said is about growth is where, you know, I think, you know, just to throw a little monkey wrench, you know, in here, I think it's a good thing that we don't have a crystal ball. Because who would get married? You know, I mean, who would get married? If you could look in and see your future, you know, and see all the quote-unquote issues or problems or whatever and the struggles and the challenges, I mean, who would literally say, you know, I want that. I'm signing. Sign me up on the dotted line right here. Nobody would do it.
No.
Fool.
Exactly.
Right. You're right. You're right, but who would do it? Who would do
and
it?
I think that's the beauty about it is that you walk into this thing. You know, yeah, you know, you may have some advice, you know, given to you from, you know, different, you know, corners or whatever, but you really walk into it, you know, kind of a, you know, you're a clean slate. You know, it's like, all right, you may not have agreed to, as Tony said, I never agree to that, you know, but now you're doing it. Now you just hang, you know, you go home and just, you know, you enjoy just spending time with your wife watching Lifetime movies or something. You know what I'm saying? Whereas before, you're looking in the crystal ball, it's like, that's me on the couch, you know, cuddled up, as, you know, Tony said last week, with a blanket, with the wife, you know, and my boys hanging out, shooting pool, or whatever the case may be, and I can't go with them.
Rodney, say it isn't so. You're not watching Lifetime, are you?
Yeah.
Still lay hands on his brother.
Absolutely.
But can I throw in a monkey wrench right here at the beginning?
Go ahead.
Throw one in?
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Would you ever know, looking through a crystal ball, that you would be divorced?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to get beat right now, man. I'm going to get right with it. I haven't seen it personally, but I've seen getting close to it.
So looking into it and then just basically, like, at some point, this marriage is going to end.
Yeah, I've never seen my marriage right now ever ending. And I'm just wondering, I mean, there's probably some folks on here who's been through divorce already. If they had a crystal ball known that they were going to go through that at the beginning with that person, would they have gotten married to that person?
No way.
Now listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. And it might sound crazy, okay? Some people might be all right with that, because then that means they get a new wife. They get a new shot at it. I mean, think about it. If you are single, what do single guys do? Go from one to one to one to one. Flip them,
yeah.
Or whatever. Let me not say flip them, but you know what I mean. You know, we jump from the grass to the grass to the grass to the grass. So if you figure, well, if I can get into this thing and I already see a divorce, you know what I mean? Then I get another shot. I can be set free from this one, and then I can go out there and find me another one. Some people might look into it like that could be a plus. As crazy as it sounds.
But that means you ready to go into a disaster. I'm going to put myself in the fire. I'm going to put myself in the devil's pit just because I already know what I can get out of and go somewhere else.
Nah, I'm telling you, going through a divorice, ain't no
way.
We
do that anyway. Some of us do that anyway. If we marry a woman because she's fine and she might make beautiful babies, that's going into it the wrong way anyway. And some of us do that. So, you know, that's just me speaking. I could be wrong.
I have not met a dude that wants to get married to a woman because she's going to make beautiful babies. That sounds like a woman deal to me. I mean, dude is not looking at a woman and going, you know what, we could have beautiful babies together, so I'm going to pursue that. No, dude, I know.
No.
Maybe he's laying on the couch watching Lifetime movies or something.
That might be the only thing that you heard that I said, but I said we marry the woman because she's beautiful, first and foremost.
We married the woman from the outside, not
from the outside, not inside.
Right.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that's first of all, I mean, that's the way the good Lord made us, to be attracted physically.
For sure.
You know,
I like
and, you know, and any brother that says he's not, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't take her to the high school reunion, what are you doing? What are you doing? You lying to yourself? Oh, she got a nice personality. Come on, man. We, you know, we want to be able to take them outside. I mean, not to be, you know, blunt. I mean, but it is what it is. So a lot of times we look at it that way and say, okay, well, you know, she's fine. I want her on my arm.
That's
got to
true.
Put a ring on her finger.
That's true. Now, you know, we all had that girlfriend or that not girlfriend, but that woman that we wasn't gonna bring outside.
Thank you. Say that.
You're right.
That's just being honest. You know, we've hit those dry streaks.
Yeah, and let me flip that and drop a monkey wrench on that. Now I know some guys on the phone that literally had a young lady that they were dating, and y'all literally looked through the crystal ball and was like, "Oh heck no, I'm not marrying this one. This is just for the moment." I mean, anybody can speak on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, after my divorce, I was looking at women a whole lot different. And it was some I looked at and went, oh, heck no.
Mm-hmm.
Heck no. I don't care what you look like. Heck no.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But there was something about them. There was something about them. Some physical attraction, some physical feature.
Yeah,
maybe from the neck down, could be from the neck down if you may, but, you know, it's a physical feature that got us somewhere, you know, I guess, you know, in their presence, but that's as far as it went.
That happened to me once, and I was, you know, after a while I started to think, what on earth did I see in this person? You know, and after we were going on for a while, you know, I saw some behavior traits that I, you know, I started to say to myself, man, if this is what it's going to be, I don't want it. So eventually I checked out.
Yeah.
Well, and she checked out too, so I guess she was saying the same thing about me.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, no, I'm just sharing that. Perhaps she checked out too, because maybe she was saying the same thing about me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's looking in her crystal ball, as was I. So.
Yeah, nice.
But I'm happy. In retrospect, I'm happy it didn't go any further.
There you go.
Yeah, and I actually I took my daughters to see the Princess and the Frog and this morning, and it had a piece in there where it was, you know, it's a little voodoo and a little magic going on. And what you thought you saw on the outside was not the real, you know, because, like I say, it was a voodoo guy in there. Well, I don't want to give away the movie if y'all got kids or whatever. But, you know, essentially what you saw on the outside was not really what was so. You know, so a lot of times, you know, we get blinded, you know, by love. And we miss a lot of things like, man, I did not notice that while we were dating, you know, whatever. And then when it carries over into the marriage, it's like, that is a problem, you know, whatever it is. But the whole thing is, a lot of times we get blinded by the love, or we just think that, oh, you know, it's not that bad, you know, whatever that thing is. But, you know, it just, like I say, it reminds me back to the movie I was watching, you know, this morning, about how they presented it, you know, the person. And it wasn't a real, it was somebody totally different. Totally different.
Can we say, can we just put it in layman's term? I mean, our grandparents used to tell us all the time, don't get your nose wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't focus on what's really right in front of you.
Got that right.
I think we get caught in that a lot as men, is that, as you just said, you know, we look at the outside. We say, oh, we can handle this, you know. Oh, she might have a little flaws. But you assume, well, once we get more and more involved, then she'll see how I am and it should go away. We shouldn't have these problems because she will change. And it never happens. It gets worse. What do you do then?
Where do we get that
from?
You
don't expect that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with that, I think like Andrew said before, it's like when a woman gets married, she's like, I'm going to change him.
Yeah.
Versus just like what Patrice just said, when a man gets married, you're thinking that she's going to change once she's got the wife title, once she's Mrs. So-and-so, that she's going to change. When the opposite happens, I mean, that fault or whatever, that issue, it gets worse. You know, but the whole thing, like Andrew says, that when a woman gets married, it's like, yeah, I'm going to change that, and he's not going to do that anymore. He's not going to hang out with those folks anymore. I mean, that's what they're thinking, whereas with us, we're like, man, once she gets married, everything's going to be great because she's going to do this, and she's going to change, and she's going to be my wife, and doesn't happen that way.
I can give you a good example. Can I give a good example? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My wife and I, we met in college, so I knew. I invited him over to the house and cooked for her and her friends all the time. I knew she couldn't cook, but she could do a whole lot of things. So I was cool. I said, well, once we get married, we have our first kid, I'm going to be working a little bit longer hours. She going to start cooking. And 17 years later, I can probably
you bringing home the bacon and throwing it up in the pan.
You didn't say 17 years later, did he?
You went there.
Later, I do. And Tom, hey man, I do all the cooking, man. Once in a while, she got her own couple special dishes she cooked, but that's about it. I am either out. Yeah.
Knowing what you know now, you know, with all the, you know, all the other stuff. All the good stuff that your wife does, you know, looking in the crystal ball and you 17 years down the road and you cooking in the kitchen where you thought that your wife would be doing that. I mean, would you have signed up for that? Knowing what you're doing there?
don't know, man. I'm going to be honest with you. If I had to do it again, I mean, I think I would still be cool because she does all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just get tired when you come home, man. And you know, Dick Connery right now is not saying you can stop by Popeye's every day.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
You know, I think you hit it on the head, Rodney, when you said, would you still do it? You know, we talk about looking at these things, and when you look at them in a vacuum, it may be a bothersome situation. But when you look at the whole picture, it's truly, in my opinion, a beautiful thing that, you know, you can have. I had a couple of patients come into my office today. He was 93 and she was 91. And that's really, and the love that they shared with each other still at that age was what, you know, what I'm looking to have. I mean, he was taking care of her, you know, all her needs, and she was appreciating it. And that's really what mature love is about. And we have all these different challenges. Yeah, well, I had this, I had that. But really what we're looking for is a lifelong, you know, spouse that we can grow together with.
Good words. Good words. Yep, and I guess that's a goal for all of us. I mean, but even that, getting married. In the beginning, you look at a crystal ball, you say, do I want to be with this person till I'm 93? That alone might say, nah, man, I ain't in.
Yeah, let me.
That alone might scare some people away.
Yeah, let me.
Just that commitment.
Yeah, and that's what I want to touch on, Tony. Let me back this up. I mean, if we were to look at our own crystal balls, you know, just tying it back to the topic for the evening, did you envision yourself to be married at any point in your life, or did you kind of end up married and it's like, man, how did I get here? Because I know, you know, for me, you know, my parents are still married to this day. They've been married 40 years. My older brother's married. My grandparents are married 60 years, so... You know, I always envisioned that I would be married to somebody, you know, and probably, you know, I guess I actually got married very young at 21. And, you know, I always envisioned myself to be married. You know, I never envisioned myself, you know, playing the field until I'm 35 or whatever. And I'm not, you know, saying anything against anybody that's done that. But, you know, again, me personally, I never felt, you know, I always like, yeah, I would definitely be married, you know, by 30, you know, and I got married by, you know, a couple months removed from college, and I'm in the aisle, you know, I was actually 20, you know, so, wow. I mean, essentially, you know, I was, you know, but, you know, I have no regrets, you know, I've been, you know, married, you know, it's been trials and tribulations as with any marriage, but, you know, I have no regrets, and if I were to look at it, you know, whereas to say that if I knew what I knew now, you know, with my wife, I would do it all over again. You know, and if I could have literally been there, you know, at the bachelor party or whatever, or, you know, around me, you know, giving myself advice 10 years ago saying, yo, man, this is going to happen. You better watch out for this. I would have still done it. No doubt in my mind. I'm 100% confident with that.
So you telling me that you can go to a 20-year-old guy right now and tell him your story, your marriage story, and that he'll be like, man, that's a great story. I'm going to go get me a wife.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it was a great story, but I'd be like, man, I'm up for the challenge. I'm up for the challenge.
Wow.
Well, see, I got married at 21, and I was nowhere near ready to be married. I mean, and if a 21-year-old came to me and asked me, you know, should I get married? I mean, you'd have to be a real special person to be able to do that. I just wasn't it, you know. And, you know, Rodney sounds like he wasn't. And knowing Rodney now, I mean, he's really got his head screwed on. So he probably did it at 21. But when I was 21, that wasn't a smart thing to do. She just bugged me enough.
No.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I knew – you know, when I've been with my wife 15 years next year, so, I mean, it's like 14 or 15 years anyway, but we both knew early on in our relationship that we would get married. And that's real talk, fellas. And literally, probably within the first year, we were saving for our wedding.
What?
Yeah, absolutely.
First year of dating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first year of dating, we were saving for our wedding. Absolutely.
Wow.
Had a wedding fund, everything. Absolutely, fellas. And we didn't get married until, you know, 3 years later or whatever. So, we dated all through college or whatever. But literally, within the first few months, it was like, yeah, I mean.
Y'all were 18 years old saving for a wedding?
Pretty much, yeah. 18, 19, yeah, yeah. And it's like when we started dating, it was like, you know how they say that you know? I mean, when you meet that person, that special person, that, you know, that one, I mean, you know. So, I mean, both of us arrived at that point, you know, pretty much 2 or 3 months, and then to take that next step to say, you know, we need to start saving for our wedding because, you know, we're going to, this thing is really, it has promise. And, you know, and that's why I say, you know, I knew that from the on. It didn't, you know, at the wedding day, it didn't hit me or whatever. It hit me, you know, 2 or 3 months in that this is my wife. And thankfully, it hit her the same way that I'm her husband, you know. But, you know, essentially, it's like, you know, I mean, that's real talk. I mean,
I think that's the extraordinary guy. I can't.
An extraordinary guy.
That, you know, I mean, you're like the model guy, Rodney. You know, you're the guy that the women put the picture up and say, get one like this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what,
yeah.
At 19 years old, that wasn't even a thought in the furthest part of my brain cell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that tied back to my background. Again, you know, my parents have always been married. My grandparents were married 60 years, and they only, I mean, my grandfather died, so, I mean, it was pretty much blood in, blood out. You know, my wife's parents are still married to this day. They've been married, how many years, 30-plus years or whatever. So in our backgrounds, when we came together, it was like, I mean, marriage. And my wife, I mean, she wasn't out to just be dating people. You know, it was just like, oh, let me date this guy, let me date this guy, let me see. It's just like, it's going to be dating. You know, and it's not going to be any long-term, you know, dating if it's not going to lead to anything. You know, that was her whole thing. And so, I mean, we just arrived at that position, and I probably am abnormal or whatever, but I think it's just from our background. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think I got a better story than you, man.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you, and I have no idea to this day, but I had a dream one night while I was in school, right? And I went to class, and here's the girl that's in my dream. And I walk right up to her in class, because I go to class late, first day of class. I sit right beside her. I said, you know what? I had a dream that I was going to marry you. You hated my guts. From that day until 17 years later, I went up to Sharon the first day and told her that I was going to marry her, and she actually thought I was crazy. Because at that point in time, be honest with you and Frank, she was, you know, involved with another person. And she was like, whatever, I'm already involved with somebody. And it took some time and patience, but the skills end up working out perfect. But,
man, P-Tan,
I mean, that skills, brother, to walk up to a lady and say, you know, I dreamed about you, and
the funny thing, I really did have a dream about it. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a lie. I actually had a dream about Sharon being my wife.
Now, how many of
them at this moment
lying when they were out there in the field? That's a pretty good line.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never used that line before. I don't even know why it came
out
of my mouth.
He was spitting the line from
you. Know, you would have got your player card punched double for that. That would have been an e-card ticket.
Yeah, baby, you tired? You've been running through my mind all day. You know, it's like, come on, man. That's like one of the classic joints.
Yes,
he was speaking the true joint.
Yes, that was my story. Hey, Tom.
Yes,
I got
sir.
One for you. Guest six has got some good chat online. You want to bring it up?
Yeah, yeah. I was just reading. He said that they always imagine themselves to be married and look forward to be married. He just didn't think that he married the right woman. And if he had a crystal ball, he probably wouldn't have. You know what I mean? And I think that that's the case with a lot of people. You know, we want to get married. We know what's down the pipe for us. We already know because of our parents and their parents and grandparents or whatever the case may be. We know we're going to get married at some point. And we even know the fact that we're going to have kids because most men want a son. You know what I mean? But we have to make sure that it's the right woman. And if it's not the right woman, we don't know till it's too late most of the times. You know? So does anybody want to reflect on that?
But do we take really take the time to find out about that person, find out about their background, the you know, go see their family, see how their family act? Because, I mean, I'm not
Yeah, well, you just said you found yours in a dream.
I found mine in a dream. But that compromise, there's some things I still had to do some compromising that I had to go ahead, like I told you before, and accept. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I had to accept some things.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. I want to ask a question. Does anybody on the phone think that God makes mistakes?
Ooh, no.
No.
Okay.
No.
So if God knows your beginning and your end, and you meet a person and you marry that person, but you say it's the wrong person, maybe it wasn't the wrong person. It's just that your choices were kind of jacked because you didn't decide to be in it. Because you know, he knows your beginning and your end. So he knows what you want to be, who you want to marry, and everybody you marry, you're going to wind up going through something. And that's part of the mystery of being married. Part of the mystery of being married is bringing two people who are totally different together and make them one.
That's true, but, you know, God has an unexpected plan for everybody, too. I mean, he's going to throw a monkey wrench in you. In your relationship.
I don't think God picks out our husbands or wives. I think he gives us parameters and says, you know, pick within the parameters that I've given you.
Yeah, but I'm not
saying
that.
I will bless that union and form it into one. And then we get all crazy and go, you know what? I made, you know, this wasn't right. But I think God gives us the parameters up front, and then we decide, you know what, this was for better, for worse, but not that.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's my whole point. My whole point is that our decisions over what God has placed in your life, you know, it's like this. When you deal with certain things in your life and say meeting that person or looking into that crystal ball, as you say, and you're looking for that, you know, and you see that person, you say, no, you wouldn't do it. But see, that's the point. You can't look into that crystal ball, you know. And when it does happen, it was already known it was going to be before its time. Now it's up to you to make a choice or a decision what you want to do with it. And then if you leave that and go into something else, it's like being in a wilderness. He tells you to take another lap. So what happens is you take another lap and you continue to go through the same thing over and over again until you get it right.
But what if you don't get it right?
And then you don't get it.
What if you realize that the
it's your choice?
What if you realize that the person that you married is just crazy?
Or
what if you realize that you got married, that person may not be crazy, they may be crazy, but you just got married, but technically you weren't even ready to get married or to be husband.
Well, think about it like this too, see? Some of us need to come to the understanding about ourselves first and foremost. And what we got to first and foremost realize is that how do you know that you were called to be married? How do you know your choices in life led you in one direction, but it wasn't a destiny for that to happen for you? But because of your choices, you're thrown off course. So who's to say that it wasn't so? It wasn't supposed to be, or was supposed to be that way. Do you really know that about yourself?
Well, that's because, I mean, let's be honest. That's because I'm not turning this into a anything mean, but sometimes in life we all know that if you don't put God first, then you get what you get.
Well, that's not, and the reason I brought that up is because my wife told me before that she married the wrong person.
Wow.
Wow.
That's heavy.
I'm in agreement with you.
That's a heartbreaker right there.
But no,
right.
But guess what though? But guess what though? 16 years later, we're still married. You understand what I'm saying to you? And what I'm saying to you is that, see, we take some things out of context. See, because they said that, you know, some people, you have to understand where a person is in their relationship with God and how they walk with God, right? And some people may get married thinking that, well, I wasn't supposed to do this. Okay, but technically, that's just a feeling. You know, it doesn't mean that it's always so because people say things.
But that goes back to the crystal ball.
Huh?
But you're right, because that goes back to the crystal ball of we never realize that we have to learn to listen.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
I think one thing that we get mixed up with when we get married is that love is a feeling instead of commitment.
And again, Andrew.
You know, love, we think love is a feeling, and we don't have those warm fuzzies, then, you know, something's wrong, and I married the wrong person because I'm no longer, quote-unquote, in love. But love is a commitment. It's a covenant. It is much deeper than the warm, fuzzy feelings, because there's times that, you know what, I don't care who you are, you're not going to like your wife.
There you go.
Okay, there's going to be times you don't want to see your wife.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I'm sitting here standing right next to me is my wife. But this time she doesn't want to see me. But that has nothing to do with the marriage. Because if you get married into the covenant and understand what the covenant is,
yeah,
it is much deeper than a warm, fuzzy feeling. Because feelings come and feelings go. Okay?
That's right.
And you know, infatuation after the first 6 months is done. So what do you have after that? So if your marriage is based on, you know, she's fine and this and that, and I get this warm, fuzzy feeling and she's just so this and that, if you're not rooted in the depth of what the covenant is, you're going to have real problems.
And you're right on point, Andrew. You're right on point, Andrew, because what it all boils down to is that, you know, eventually, you know that humping that you was doing and all these other things that you was doing before you got married, you know, you're being held responsible for those things. And then what happens is, man, sometimes things turn around on you, man, and you wonder, why is this happening now when everything was so great in the beginning? All of a sudden, is this the same person that I married? I mean, you know, because they switch up on you. But what it is some things you didn't know about them, and that warm, fuzzy feeling is not there anymore, and that hump thing is not there anymore. Then what do you have after that? Nothing.
So then what you do is you start looking around thinking, you know what? I made a mistake.
I married the wrong person.
Okay, I married the wrong person. God must have messed up, or I read wrong, so I'm going to go get another one. And
you
get out of that marriage, and you tie back into another one. And it's so exciting because all you can see is how fine she is.
Take another lap.
Same cycle over and over and over again without understanding that the common denominator is you.
There you go.
Well, and that leads me to my next question. You guys kind of rolled right into it. What makes her the right woman to marry from the jump?
Wow.
There it is.
Let's go there. What makes her the right woman to marry from the get-go?
I think
to
somebody
go
said
out
it.
And say,
well,
to get
well,
on that knee.
Let's make it even worse. I mean, for men, what is it to let her, you know, bring this woman home to your mother?
Yeah, what makes you want to marry her? For, I mean, what are we looking for in the beginning? Because right now, later on, we can say, yeah, we married the wrong woman. Okay, whatever. But in the beginning, she was that right woman. So what changed?
You know, I have an 18-year-old daughter, and since she was about 11 or 12 years old, I've been talking to her about marriage, my wife and I, and talking to her, you know, and she's, I'm not getting married. I'm not ready. I'm 15, I'm 14, I'm 12, I'm not getting married. And what we were talking to her about was what is dating, you know? And dating truly is, first of all, what it's not is mating. And when we get it twisted and think that dating is mating, then we get in all kind of trouble. But basically, dating is looking for the characteristics in the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. And when we understand that, then you can literally write down the things and the characteristics of a person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. And if this person doesn't have those characteristics, or they have what I call deal breakers, then before you get involved emotionally, and definitely not physically, because sex is like a drug, it covers over the nasty stuff, and you don't see it because it's that drug of sex. And that's what usually traps people, because they get involved physically way before it's time to do it. And they end up with this thing that they're married to now.
Yeah.
You know, and then after 6 months, the drug wears off, and they can't be in the same room with them. And then they come to us, my wife and I, and go, fix our marriage.
Yeah, and I would say, just to answer Tony's question, is that, you know, the woman I was looking for was into God. I mean, she knew the word, and, you know, I wasn't looking for no woman that I was their everything. You know, that, oh, you know, everything is about me and all that. I'm like, nah, you know, because, and it's vice versa. You know, my wife comes second to God, you know, because God blessed me with her. So it works both ways in our relationship that, you know, I'm not her everything. You know, I'm part of the package. I'm, you know, part of God's blessings, you know, in her life or whatever. But the whole thing is that, you know, I was the right woman. In my understanding of it, would be someone that knows that is into God, is into Christ, and the things of God. I mean, that's number one. If you ain't got that, then you ain't the right woman.
At 20?
Yes.
Wow, that's strong.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's strong.
Absolutely. Oh, and I'll tell you something else, is that, you know, literally, we were supposed to get married, and let me correct the record. I was actually 21, about to turn 22, but I was still young. But
we can just say 22.
Yeah.
22 is still cool.
Yeah, and I was 21, and we were supposed to get married in the year 2000. And, you know, the whole thing was that we were saving for the wedding because we knew we had to pay for it. I mean, that was just reality. So if we wanted to get married and we wanted the wedding like we wanted to, you know, to have it, we were going to have to pay for it. So we started saving. I already told you all that earlier. But essentially, we were supposed to get married a year later. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, you know, we're moving up to the D.C. area or whatever. And I was like, yeah, we can get an apartment. We can save for the wedding. And then boom, 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 you know, we'll get married. And then everything is cool. And my girlfriend, my fiance at the time, turns to me and she's like, I'm not living with you. I'm not living with you before we're married. And I was like, ah, ha, 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 you're funny. Anyway, we're going to move into the apartment, and then we'll save for the wedding and get married. She was like, I'm serious. I am not living with you before we get married. So if you're not in agreement with that, you can walk. I mean, you can step. And I was like, okay. So then we actually backed it up, and we said, well, why are we getting, you know, two different apartments? Why are we going to have two different apartments, two different expenses? Why don't we just move the wedding up? And that's what ended up happening. This was February of 1999, and we got married in July of 1999. So we pulled a wedding off, college kids, going through final exams and, you know, all that great stuff and job interviews and everything. And, you know, 2 months after, you know, we graduated, we got married. And the rest is history. But going back to the point, at 20, my wife, my fiance at the time, was like, I am not living with you. And that was part of the reason why, you know, me, I was like, this chick is crazy, you know. But then when I thought about it, I was like, man, this chick is real. Mm-hmm. This is the woman that I can bring home to mom, to dad, or to grandmama, because this chick is real. And that, you know, I mean, she was on it at 20. And that, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the right woman, somebody that's based and firmly rooted in the things of God, because she could have easily said, I mean, we've been dating for 3-4 years, so it would have been like, oh, yeah, you know, it's cool, we could just move in together, you know. But she was like, nah, not doing that. I'm not doing it.
So good words.
Let's come up with something else.
Yeah, man, well, and just to add on to that, I mean, just think about it. When just six brought up a good thought that experience, limited experience at age levels, maturity level. You know, that changes each year you get older.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, fellas, I got married when I was 21. I mean, I was pretty mature, and I wasn't, and I'm not saying that to brag or to toot my own horn, but, you know, my familiar situation was stable. You know, I had a stable home life. You know, my father was always there. He was in my life. My mother was there. I mean, they both work. I mean, it was just like I had the typical, you know, if you want to call it Cosby family or whatever. So, and I went to church. My mom took me to church every Sunday, period. It didn't matter. Unless I was, you know, sick as a dog, I was going to church. So, you know, part of that maturity came from being, you know, being growing up in the church. So, you know, I knew when my fiance told me, she was like, yeah, I'm not living with you. I knew where that was coming from, even though I didn't agree to it at, you know, initially. You know, I was like, yeah, we can do it. You know, we can make it work. It's all right. We're getting married anyway, so let's just, you know, move in together and just make it easier. And she was like, no. So, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, the characteristics, you know, even as a young guy, it came from me having a stable home life and having God in my life. And I knew Jesus from a young age, and I mean, I give him all the credit and the honor and the glory, because, I mean, that's what it is. And, you know, I thank God for, you know, my situation, my upbringing, because I know I can help somebody else that, you know, it's not always, you know, the other way around, so.
Good words. And that brings me to, this is 10 o'clock, and I got a 10 o'clock monkey wrench.
Uh-oh.
And anybody on this phone right now that is getting ready to deny what I'm getting ready to say and say it ain't you, shame on you. If you had a crystal ball and you could look in that crystal ball before you got married, and inside that crystal ball, something would tell you that the sex was going to change, would you have still gotten married?
Ding.
Ding, let's get this party started. Let's get this party started.
Oh, man. Wow.
Shame on you if you deny it.
Shame on you.
Shame on you if you deny it. If you sit back denying it, shame on you.
Listen. My man Pate just came on. You gotta say it one more time. Thank you.
Yeah, you gotta repeat that for him. Welcome, brother. Go ahead. Say that.
Okay,
again.
Look, I'm gonna say it again. It's 10 o'clock. This is my 10 o'clock, and I'm gonna do this whenever it's my time to moderate. My 10 o'clock monkey wrench is, and shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. I'm gonna say it again. Shame on you if you say it ain't you on this call. If you had a crystal ball and you could look in your crystal ball before you got married, and something in that crystal ball, you know how you had those little shake up black balls where you could flip it around and gives you like a little, you know, I don't know, whatever you call it, fortune or whatever.
Yeah,
well, let's just say you had one
yeah.
of those, and it flipped around and it stopped flipping and it looked and it showed its face and it said, the sex is going to change after you get married. Would you still get married?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. And I say this, that, you know, brothers, I mean, really, sex is not, I mean, hear me when I say this. When you look at all the things that happen during your week, sex is really, I mean, I say what, 10, 15% of everything that goes on in your house. You talking about work, the kids, the mortgage, the bills, the grass, the cars. I mean, it's so, when you look at the grand scheme of things, it's so minimal. And I don't say that to belittle it, you know, but, and I'm saying this from, you know, I'm pretty real.
You've been conformed, brother, and you've been conformed.
Yeah.
And it's coming,
yeah,
and look and it's spilling all out your mouth right now. You have been converted. It is what it is. You have been converted. I mean, we got to get real, man. I mean, let's please, man, somebody get real with me on this one.
Somebody, because that brother's been converted.
Come on, man.
It changes, man. It changes.
It changes.
We all know it changes.
It changes after the first kid. It changes after the
it changes after the first 6 months.
First real kid.
Thank you. Thank you.
First 6 months.
Thank you.
Go ahead and speak on it, brother.
It changes,
after the first
man.
6 months. And, and I'm going to tell you, with that crystal ball, if I was able to see that, that would definitely make me take a hard thought process on, am I going to make this choice? Because, it's very minimal with regards to everything that goes into the week, but when you do have it and when it's happening and it's good, everything else just washes off your back. I mean, you know how good you feel when you're walking through the week and you relaxed yourself and you're walking lighter, you know?
Yeah.
You feel good. I mean, you're able to just take on things. They can come and say, oh, that's 15 problems at the job. You handle them real swiftly like the Matrix. Neo at the end just locking shots. You don't even care about it. So, I mean, yeah, it might be small, but it really helps out. And it is one of those things that if that ball was there to say it's 6 months from now, what you're really good at, you're not going to be able to demonstrate anymore. Yeah,
so,
I don't.
You're
going to
need
I
an appointment.
Know. Yeah.
You're going to need an appointment.
That's a rough one.
Yeah,
that's a rough one.
And Peyton, I'm going to ask you a question, though, honestly. When is sex the best? Prior to marriage.
Yeah,
Before they got married, some people didn't,
right.
But most of us have. So prior to marriage, the sex is the bomb.
It changes.
And that's a good point you bring up, Tony, is that had we not engaged in sexual activities before the marriage, it wouldn't be nothing to change. Nothing
then
to compare it to.
Then you would have been disappointed. You would have gotten in there and be really disappointed.
I don't think so. I'll say that for me, let me go back. Let me get real, you know, with y'all. And I would say that initially, you know, I was like, whoa, what is going on here? But, you know, I would say that now, 10 years later, the sex has actually changed for the better. And I say that because, and I've said this many times before, is that if your wife is on birth control, that has an effect. It decreases their libido. Get them off the birth control, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
They was on birth control prior to getting married, bro.
Exactly.
They've been on birth
control
since teenagers.
Right.
I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. They've been on it too long. Y'all not hearing me.
Get them off birth control.
They was on birth control with... They was on birth control 6 days a week before. I mean, when it was all good all week. Still on birth control. So that's not it. That's not it. It changes, man. We got to make an appointment now. We have been conformed to the point where it's like, okay, once a week, twice a week, I'm the man. Twice a week, man, I must have done something good. I must have got a promotion at work. You know what I mean? I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, man, somebody got to get real with you, Tony. They
well,
back on here.
I agree with my man. I definitely wouldn't have got married if I'd have known.
Exactly.
No.
I ain't going to lie about it.
No. We would not have been interested.
No, sir.
Man,
and it's not.
She would have been short like a midget with no legs, okay?
Yeah, because I'm about to say something that, you know, that y'all not even prepared for. You know, because literally, say you looked into that crystal ball and, you know, you saw the sex change, but when you actually got through the marriage, your wife was in a car accident and was disabled and couldn't have sex anymore. So you didn't have.
You got to take it there. How you got to take it there?
I mean, you know, I'm just saying
that's
that,
extreme,
you know.
But you know what, though? I think I would be more apt to, just being honest, I think I'd be more apt to be understanding of the situation underneath those circumstances and that crystal ball versus the fact that there's a conscious choice or something's going on that for whatever reason this isn't happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's different when it's an accident that's been taken away, but when it's you are making a choice or something's going on or you haven't carried something out during the week or you move and shuffle this around, which in turn takes away from something else, then that's a problem. You know what I mean? Like it's a problem. You're not doing well at multitasking or whatever you need to do. Again, it goes back to what I said a couple calls back. I don't know if women have really been able to get an internship on what goes into being a wife. I just don't believe they got it. I just don't believe they had it.
But have y'all actually went to your wives and said, you know what, this once a week, whatever the case may be, is really not working out for me. Have you articulated that to her? Have you communicated that to her?
And you know what happens when you articulate that? It increases, but it's fake. It's whack. I mean, I could get that. I could go anywhere and get that. I could up here to a happy hour and leave a cocktail hour with somebody.
Isn't there some cultures out there that women, they once they get to a certain age, they teach their daughters?
I saw a Big Fat Greek Wedding. Wasn't that in that movie or something like that?
There's religions where they do that, where they teach them straight up.
This is
how you take care of your husband.
Something.
If you won't keep your husband, this is how you take care of him.
Because the honest truth, fellas, is this. When you talk about the whole sexual piece, is the before you got married, when you think about dating a woman or even the whole concept of being intimate with somebody, if there was a woman that was not being intimate with you or fulfilling your needs, what did you do? You moved on to somebody else. It's sad, but true. But when you get married, you've got a sense of obligations, you're committed and all these things, but it's unfortunate. You sit there sometimes, you say to yourself, wow, I got trapped in. I'm duped. What can I do? I mean, I'm locked in. I'm going to make the right choice. I'm not going to do anything crazy. I'm not going to go out there and cheat, do something else. But it's unfortunate when you don't have any out. And the crystal ball, I mean, this is what this call is about. The crystal ball, if you could really sit there and say, how many times have I sat downstairs, worked up, and I got no outlet other than me?
All right. Hey, Paul, can I throw in one? Listen, let's be honest, guys. Let's go on and be honest. I think we all have kids here. Some of us have daughters and had a household. As this call is stated, is it our responsibility to inform our daughters when they're young, this is how you take care of a man? I don't know if I can go to my daughter and tell her that.
Wow.
I'm just going to be honest. Because
that's heavy.
Because, and I'm going to be honest with you. We say all the time that, you know, the father needs to be there in the family. And it's the mother's opportunity, it's her responsibility to show her how to be a lady. But it's our responsibility as men to show them how men should be, respect them as a lady. But we also aren't we supposed to have the other side of the coin too and tell them, well, when you get married, that's why we don't want you to have sex until you get married, because this is what's going to happen. And this is what you're going to have. This is one of your responsibilities. I think we leave that conversation out, because I don't know if I can have that conversation with Ayanna downstairs. I just can't do it.
But I think so often that, you know, the we're not waiting until marriage, so that's why it's a continuing problem, whereas let's just say everybody waited until marriage, nobody would have the issue, because it's nothing to compare it to. It's like before, when we were dating, we had it zero times. Now we have it one time a year or whatever. I mean, you know, the whole thing is like we have nothing to compare it to, and that, you know, everybody seems like they have the same issue, is because if we were to do it right, it wouldn't even be an issue.
I think it would be like anything else. At some point, even though you would have never done it until you got married, at some point, somebody would burn out from it and get bored with it a little, need something new thrown in or something. It would ultimately happen. It may not happen as quickly if you waited until you got married to engage in intimacy with your spouse at that point. I'll give you that. But I think at some point it would come to the table, and then ultimately you would have to have a discussion or try to figure something out in order to really pick it back up. Because there's no way that you'd be able to – it's just like anything. When you start – I mean, you know, when you find a new restaurant or a new – pair of shoes for basketball or whatever, I mean, you were killing it, because you're just like, oh, this place is ridiculous. You want to go there for lunch? Let's meet there again. You know, and you keep going to it. And then after about a month and a half, 2 months, you're just like, all right, I'm going to need a break from this or something. It's not the same until they add another item to this value menu or something. I don't know what they need to do, but they need to do something to step it up, because I'm bored with this. I think that's what would happen with the intimacy piece if you waited. So you would have to figure something out at some point. It probably wouldn't be as quickly.
But we don't see that in our crystal ball, because that's what we talk about now. That's where we are right now. is, you know, hey, you know, I'm sick of this same bed right here. Turn it over. And you wearing that T-shirt. You know, what happened to Victoria's Secret? You know.
The speaker's out.
What happened to having your do up? You know, now you're all wrapped up. But, you know, I think all that comes into play. I don't think we think about that.
Yeah.
As years come on.
Mm-mm.
I don't think we think about the after having an argument. It used to be where you were
you would make up with sex.
Yeah, you would make up with sex, and then after a while, that just goes away.
And yo, well, fellas, y'all not really comparing apples to apples either. Because when you're dating, you don't have kids, you ain't looking at each other every day. You know what I'm saying? You know, you see each other, you go your separate ways or whatever. You ain't got the kids to worry about, ain't got the mortgage to pay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you get on to the other side, I mean, life happens.
But this,
you know,
again, going back to what I've stated, I think as men,
law.
Right, but I think as men, going back to what I said, we all grew up knowing that this was coming. It was told to us. It was stated to us from women, uncles, friends, fathers, we knew it was coming. But that doesn't mean I don't still want my wife. It doesn't mean I don't still want to be intimate with my wife. I can come home broke down from a day. And if it was right and things were popping in here, man, oh, my goodness. And I'd step back out there to get beat up again tomorrow. Wouldn't even worry about it.
So do you think that's why we cheat as men?
Say again.
So do you think that's why a lot of us cheat as men, because we know it was coming?
That's a great question. I don't know. You know, that's a great question. I think we all know that it's coming, but I think there's different magnitudes of how it hits us. Because some people, you know, some people just get completely cut off. One of my colleagues is going through a divorce right now. He was telling me the other day at a happy hour he had sex with his wife in 3.5 years.
Wow. That's
and they've been, and he said he was having drinks and just unloading, just telling me all types of stuff. And he was like, at any point, I'm telling you too much, stop me. And I just think he needed to talk about it. But it's one of those things where it's like it just comes at you at different magnitudes. And for him, that's a lot. I mean, to have it just completely cut off for three and a half years, he never stepped out. He never did anything. And he's like he's at his breaking point. There's nothing else that he can do. Of course, they got other problems and other things going on now. But it started off with those small things. Like the sex started disappearing. Then the communication. Then there was some financial things. And then there was separate this and separate that. And it just got crazy. But this intimacy thing, I think it's rough, and I don't know if it leads to people cheating because, as I just stated, this guy did not. But it's one of those things where I think for a lot of men it does. I mean, I don't think it sets you up where, oh, I know, you know, everybody's telling me that it's going to get rough and I'm going to go out here and find me another jump off or something like that. No, I'm not saying that's probably how it's going to be. But, I mean, I'll say this. If you say, now, here's my monkey wrench. Have you ever thought about going out there and getting a jump off?
Of course.
Because of it. Now, if you say that you haven't, now we might not be talking truthfully on this call.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you now. There have been a couple times that, you know, it's like a shimmering light in the distance, you know, a glimmer where it just came up like, well, you know, I'm at this conference. But no, I'm going to go ahead back to my room. I'm going to go ahead back to my room.
Wow.
Yeah, the conference will get you every time.
Well, you know, I say that, you know, that thought might have came up and then it just went away very quick. Because
I
flip it around and, you know, to say that, you know, what if my wife were thinking these thoughts? She need a jump off, or for whatever. I just flip it around, and be like, oh no, you know, and that gets, you know, that gets it out of the mind real quick. It's like, you know, my wife looking for some other dude, you know, to get it popping. No, it's like, no, I need not to go there.
Right. I give you that one, and then I always shut it down too, and walk on back to the room and shower up.
Yep.
Well, I will say this.
Bottom from coming in, you know.
I will say this. You got a couple types of married men that I think, and I've been both of them, that wants to cheat because they can get away with it, and then want to cheat because they can justify it, because the fact that ain't nothing going on in the house. If nothing's going on in the house, you tell yourself, and you may even say it's your God-given right to get it in the house.
Because it is. But if it's not going on, then you might even tell your wife, well, guess what? Or you tell yourself, well, I got to get it. So if it's not going on here, it's going to go on somewhere. It's going to jump off somewhere else. And we, in our mind, we tell ourselves that it's all right.
Hey, can you say that again? Check this out. Say that again.
You tell yourself that they're all right, but isn't that also you want to get caught? Aren't those the guys that want to get caught?
Yes, for sure.
It's not that they want to leave their wife. They want to get caught, so it's their way of communicating.
Yeah, well, no, you want the wife to know, well, you ain't doing it. So guess what Jennifer over here is doing? She's taking care of your business because you're not doing it.
And doing it well.
Subconsciously. And doing it well, yeah.
Like you said, and you said that the men don't cheat, but see, the monkey wrench I was going to throw in there is that the word of God plainly says, so a man thinketh, so is he. So basically, even though you may not have physically cheated, but when you've entertained the thought, you might as well have already done it.
Yeah. But I'm talking about physically. I'm talking about the brothers that went out there and got it on.
Well, I mean, in the eyes of God, you have.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to throw you a little monkey wrench in there myself, right? But I understand what you're saying. Technically speaking, you know, we want to entertain the idea of doing it. And many of us have. And if somebody said he didn't, then that's a problem, you know. But that's a serious issue, man. Because I'm gonna tell you like this: the brother talks about, you know, no, he wouldn't have, and all of these different things. I mean, that's a tough one to swallow, there, buddy. But I do understand what you're saying about the scenario that you gave about the accident, or if you've never been involved before. But the word plainly tells you to be fruitful and multiply. It also tells you the only time you're supposed to be separate from your wife is in fasting and praying. And it says, and other than that, it says, come back together, lest you be tempted of the devil. So if you don't come back together after fasting and praying, lest you be tempted, that means that the door is open. The door is ajar. The door is open. You're subject to temptation because she hasn't come back to you after that point. So what it says to me is that intimacy is important.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say also, too, fellas, that, you know, if you in your mind, you know, justifying that you can go out there and cheat, I mean, wouldn't you say that's more of a character issue that has nothing to do with your wife?
Of course.
Huh?
Of course.
I mean, you got to respect
because,
that.
And what I'm saying is that, say your wife did cut you off, that doesn't give you the right to go out and get something else.
No. Okay. I mean, you're right, but we don't always rationalize when the sex ain't right.
Say it again.
I mean, just be honest with it. When the sex ain't right, we're not always thinking properly.
No, you're just drunk off of ignorance or something. Cause sometimes
exactly.
You make
some point.
Yeah, that's crucial. But see, okay, going back to the statement that was just made about the cheat. I mean, here's the thing. What is it? It's all natural for all of us to do the self-preservation. It's fight or flight. So, I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes what it comes down to, and I understand, you know, if you're justifying it, it could potentially be considered a character thing. But it's one of these things where you say to yourself, look, I've got to take care of me. Because the person that I've committed my life to is not taking care of me. It's just like if there was... And these are things, I'm just not saying that I've taken this avenue. I'm just saying that this is what I think about sometimes, especially when the times get rocky, you know. You have to say to yourself, look, if she's not cooking for me, I'm going to go upstairs and cook something for myself, or I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to go get something for me to eat for myself. I will take it upon myself to do it. If my clothes aren't getting washed, I don't need her to get the clothes washed. I did this before I got married. If this isn't getting done, I don't need that. I can do it myself. Isn't it the same thing with this? Wouldn't it be the same thing? I mean, in all honesty, would it not be the same thing? If it was food and she wasn't feeding you, wouldn't you eat? You wouldn't.
Well, I tell you like this. I was one who stepped out there and did that before. You know what I mean? I mean, I must be honest with you. You know, I mean, it wasn't right. You know, and I have cheated before. To be honest with you, and I tell you, it's a serious deception. And the deception, once you get into it, man, that thing gets strong and stronger and stronger, and it captures you, man, and it gets you at a place where it's hard to let go, because what you're doing is you're entertaining spirits, man. And when you entertain in that spirit and you take that spirit and you interact with that woman, you become one with that woman, man. And that bond becomes that much more tighter and it becomes that much more difficult. So it's not something that you would want to venture into, you know what I mean?
I get you. But my honest question is, how is that any different, though, than if she wasn't feeding you? I mean, maybe that's my monkey wrench. It's a question. I mean, because here's the thing. You're expecting that she's going to do this stuff for you. She's going to take care of this stuff. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Maybe in some people's household, things are different. Maybe you don't want feeding her. But if you decide not to feed her, wouldn't she go get something to eat?
Of course.
Wouldn't she feed herself?
Of course.
Isn't sex the same thing?
Of course. And that's exactly what happened, because it was one of those situations where it was a cutoff. It was for a long period of time. And after a while, you contemplate. And it's a mind over matter type thing. And like my man said, it's a character issue. And it became a character issue. And once it became a character issue, then that was something that I had to deal with within myself, man. And I really had to come to grips with me and realize, you know what I was doing. Because you don't think, see, your brain, your head with the real brain on it don't be thinking. You see what I'm saying? There's the other head that be thinking for you, and then you can get really caught up. Believe me, I'm not ashamed to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Because
appreciate you sharing.
And it may be helping somebody else. You know what I mean? But I'm just going to tell you,
right.
It's not worth it. You know what I mean? It wasn't worth it. And all it did was create more issues than the issues that I had on top of those issues. So,
all right. So going back to the question I was posed a little bit earlier, on the crystal ball. If you had seen that before, would you have gotten married?
Oh hell no.
There it is.
No,
sir.
There it is.
There it is.
No,
sir.
And marriage
there
is part of, I mean, marriage is part, I mean, sex is part of marriage. And, you know, so, yeah,
it's more
I think
than
we, part, yeah, it is important. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, I say it's minimal, but I don't want to minimize it, you know, if y'all can get what I'm saying. But, you know,
it's
is.
It's a little bit more than minimal.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a whole lot more than minimal. And let
right.
me just say something else to you. Sex is part of life. Even
yeah.
forget about the marriage part. We've been trying to have sex way before marriage. We as men came out ready to have some sex. As soon as we figured out where some sex was and we was old enough, we was all over it, Jack. And I'm talking about from looking at magazines to whatever the case, we were ready to have sex. And it's important for us. Now, and not to sound shallow, that, okay, well, we're just these shallow people, and if our wife wouldn't do it, we would still, deal with it. No, we wouldn't. Uh-uh. If somebody were to tell you your sex is going to be cut off from half, now Eddie Murphy said half, it's going to be half when you get married, you or the average guy would say, well, no, I'm not getting half now. I'm getting it all now. Why am I, stop just because I put a ring on somebody's finger and accept half? That's like going to work tomorrow, and they say, well, you know what? I want you to do the same job, but you're just going to get half your pay. Would you still go to work there?
Yeah, that's a rough – that's going to be a no.
That's going to be a no.
That's going
to be. That's going to be like, yo, it's been good talking to y'all at the water cooler, but I got to go. Peace
I've
out.
Enjoyed my time here. Yeah, that's a good point. Because, I mean, here's the thing. You're going to keep doing – and that's, I think, sometimes as men what makes it complex is – you're still supposed to keep at this pace as being a husband,
yeah.
as being a father, as being the provider of a home and doing all these things, being engaged in all these stupid conversations about stuff that you could care less about. But your bedroom activity is on E sometimes.
E.
And you're just like, I don't know why I've still got to keep up this pace at all these other things and deal with all these other things that happen, but I'm not getting what I need. You know, and here's the thing. It's like, it's one thing. And that's where I kind of look at it sometimes when it does get to the point of it being frustrating and very complex in my walls in this house is, I mean, this is just one thing. You don't have to cook for me. I'm not complex. I don't need a whole lot of extravagance and all these meals and stuff. I can eat the same meal for as long as it doesn't matter. It does not matter. I can wash my own clothes. I can clean. I'd be willing to do all that stuff. If I'm getting the things that I need. And no, that's one of those things that I just need. Just give it. That's it.
But you're not alone.
But what did she say when you said that you're not getting it often enough? I mean, what was her response?
It's most of the time, it's all the things that are going on in her day.
and all the things that are happening with the kids and all the things that are happening with, you know, life. And I'm looking at her and I'm just like, but that's the same thing that's happening to me. But I still have my passion and drive for you. It doesn't go away.
Yeah,
it's like I can take on.
But you got to also remember
that women are emotional.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you from my experience, brothers, that, you know, when we have a bad day, we want to come home and have sex, you know, to blow it off, you know, to let off some steam. But them, they're like, ugh, get away from me. I had a terrible day. You know, it's like totally opposite. And, you know, I ask because is there anything that you can do, you know, to help her? Well, I mean, if it's something at the workplace, then, I mean, it may be something you could do. I mean, you could rub her feet or, I mean, make her some tea. I would just say, you know, ask her what would it take for her to, when she comes home, to be less stressed out. You know, the work thing, you really can't do nothing about that. But when she gets home after work, outside of work, what can you do to help her to relieve that stress? I mean, ask her that question.
She's going to say leave her alone.
But even in asking those questions, I guess the thing is that from that point then is, you know, hopefully it's not consecutive multiple days of this. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing where you go, all right, I give you 3, maybe even 7 days. But when we get into 14, 21 days of something, you know, and you just, then maybe you need to see somebody that's a specialist because there's not much I can do. You know, and and that's where it becomes the type of thing that you got to say, yeah, something's not right here, you know. Because
it may not even be the sex, though. That goes back to that listening thing. There's an underlying thing that she's more concerned about that you're not concerned about. All you're concerned about is sex. She wants to talk about some other things, but I'm not going to deal with it until we get to the point where she wants to hear. That's that one of those things that we got to break down that barrier, find out what's actually wrong, what's really wrong. And it may have nothing to do with sex.
Mm-hmm. That's when you got to sit patiently.
Because one thing I find out, and talking to my wife, is sometimes she wants it more than me. And she hating on me. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. Because all you got to do is boom, I'm ready to go. And she said, you know what, you know, you was over there, you had your back turned, so I felt like you didn't want to be bothered with me. And I said, wait a minute, you went to sleep, so I thought you didn't want to. I mean, little simple things like that.
Y'all better get a chalkboard. Y'all better get a chalkboard and put it up in the room and start writing on it.
Get one of those how am I feeling today signs on your door or something with the faces on it.
That's what I'm talking about. Put a handkerchief on the doorknob or something.
But you know how women are, man. Their body changes. They don't feel comfortable.
Chris.
Help. Go ahead.
Echo.
You get an echo.
Wow. Yes, me. That's me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Still here now.
It is.
Still bad? No, it's gone.
Women.
Oh. It's back.
Yeah, still echoing.
Wow.
I don't know who that was.
Dialed in.
It's the lead.
Nobody dialed in. Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
I don't know where it started from.
You have to mute them one by
one. Oh, okay.
There it is. It's gone.
We good.
Yeah, it's gone now. Yeah.
It's gone now, okay.
Sorry, listeners. But, I think it goes back to what we're talking about is I think you have to really sit down and have that conversation, just like Tony said, with the chalkboard or, you know, whatever you got to do. And your wife got to put up her number. It's 7 days in a week, so she put up her number, you put up your number, and you put a high number, you know, you put up a 7, and then that way you sort of meet in the middle and you get like 3 to 5, you know, so that's how you do it, you know. But I think you do need to articulate how many times is enough. You know, as Patrice said, you know, his wife might want a little bit more, you know, or in a lot of cases it's the opposite. But I think we have to articulate with our wives that this number is enough. That way, you both know, all right, you had it twice this week. You know, anything above that is extra, you know, but your wife is giving you, according to y'all's agreement, the bare minimum, which is twice, which y'all agreed on, so you really can't get mad.
But see, sometimes, but does anyone feel that if you set this number up, you had this number conversation, let's say you get to day 7, okay, and you're being the good husband and not saying anything about it, but it's day 7 and you agree to 3 times a week, and it's only happened once, and it's 9 p.m. on a Sunday. We're gonna work with Sunday to Sunday, that's a week. So when's she going to get these other 2 times in 3 hours? I mean, can you imagine how that'll play out and how the resentment and maybe negativity will come out of that when it's like, come on, well, I've got these 3, I got to do this because this is what you say you wanted. And it'll come out just like that.
No, but I think what you have to do is just to come back on Monday and said, you know, I thought we did have a conversation about 3 times a week. We only did it once last week or whatever. And, you know, say, I mean, is that something that, you know, can you hold up your end of the bargain? You know, maybe we need to compromise down to twice or whatever. But I think you need to sit down and have a conversation and say, I'm a little disappointed. We agreed on, you know, I think it's what we said last week, you know, about the anger and stuff that comes out.
Yeah.
It's like, we agreed on A, but you done D. You know, it's like, what's going on here? But I think not, you know, having that conversation, you know, around it, like, all right, well, it's 9 p.m. on a Sunday. Just come in fresh and say, all right, let's have a coming, you know, let's come back together here on this. And, you know, we agreed on this, but you didn't live up to your obligations, and I'm a little disappointed. And I think that's, you know, that's a reasonable conversation. And the whole thing about, you know, while we're on these calls every week is about communication. And I think we should be grown men enough to have a conversation with our wives about just about anything, including sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
that's a good point.
That's a good point, and it's time for another one.
Okay.
And I got a monkey wrench. And this monkey wrench right here, because this monkey wrench might be a little touchy. And if, you know, and I'm not saying this to be touchy, but it's going to be a little touchy. If you had a monkey wrench, I mean, not a monkey wrench, if you had a crystal ball, and you can look in that crystal ball and see that 115-pound woman that you was about to marry is now 160, would you still marry?
No,
I mean, look,
it's
touchy.
I'm already
it's
out
touchy.
The gate, nope. I'm out the gate, nope.
I mean, it's touchy. They pick up weight. We pick up weight too, but guess what? This ain't a woman's call, it's a man's call. So it's about us tonight. If you could see that she just, you know, it's gone. Whatever she used to look like, she don't look like that no more. And you could get a visual, would you still marry?
Tony.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that it goes back to what you said earlier about hanging with your boys. Now, if you're looking at the crystal ball and you got the 115 and you're looking into the future and it's the 160 or the 180 or whatever, and you're like, nah. But what you said earlier is like you don't even hang with your friends anymore, and it's cool. And in my case, you know, my wife, and she probably will kill me for saying this, but she was a 6 when we got married. Now she's a 10. I like the 10. But when she was a 6, I've said this before, when she was a 6, I was like, hey, you better watch it now. You know, you're getting a little thick there. I mean, I was like, you better watch it. But I like the 10 now. But if I was standing there at 21 years old looking at a crystal ball, I'd have said, nah. And I would have missed out on the blessing of having my wife, you know, and her being my wife, and not just sexually and nothing like that, but just her being my wife. I would have missed out on all of that over something as frivolous as something as weight gain. And I'm not saying that it's not a problem. I'm just saying that at 21, I would have said, yeah, that's going to be a problem. I ain't with it. But now at 32, I'm like, I like it. I like it, you know.
Well, mine
if you
want to
get back
word.
Down to
I respect
and
that.
I'm like, no, don't do it.
I respect that. I respect that. What were you saying, Patrice?
I said mine the same way. You know, when we was in school, she was a top 6. you know, now she's a 10, and hey, you never stopped me. You know.
But the question was, like, when you were, you know, before you got married, you probably been like, nah, you better stay that 6.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where it was like, all right now, you know. But you got to, you know, I guess because I'm a grown man. I'm just going to tell it how it is. I like big booties anyway, so. I don't deal with small girls anyway, so I like thickness. So I'm good in weight.
I think that's where it comes down to, particularly with that question, you know, the weight and the change from the crystal ball. Is it all depends on what you, I guess, what you like, you know, and what you think you may like. And for me saying no, it's because I know that that's not what I like. And I know that it would be a problem. And it was as one that I know I would have a problem, which was to ultimately create problems within our marriage and our situation. Because I think when it comes down to it, I know life comes at you fast and all the commercials try to get you all gassed up with that. But there's a certain sense of discipline and things that come to it. Whether if it's not exercising, then it's eating healthy. If it's not eating healthy, then it's exercising. But it's one of them, at least one. And I think that's one of the biggest things that has would play into it for me, is because I'm just like, this is unacceptable. You know, and I think also then it comes back to, you know, a lot of things that surround whatever your genetics and family makeup are. Particularly for me, my side of the family, my mother's side of the family, I mean, everybody's got diabetes and they are amputees. And when I say amputees, they've lost limbs. Not feet, not below the knee. I mean legs, you know, arms. So it's like it has to be something where it's in there. And that's why I'm saying no, it will not happen.
Brother, you may have actually answered your own question, you know, regarding the sex. Because, two, when I know my wife is not happy at the 10, you know, so she when she looks at herself in the mirror, she's not happy. Even though I'm like, you know, like Patrice, I'm like, yeah, you're good. You know, but the whole thing is, like you said before, is that, and I think Patrice said it earlier, is that it may not even be about the sex. She may not even feel comfortable in her own skin. And that's why she's like, I don't think I'm beautiful, so just get away from me. So I think that's a dynamic, too.
But
that market wrench is, sometimes everybody knows that after kids 1, 2, or 3, depending on what it is, women change, man. They like, hey.
Yeah, they do change. But I'll say this, though. I think sometimes what ends up happening, and this is how I personally feel, fellas, I feel like we make a lot of excuses for women sometimes. She's got this reason and this happened. And it's like, come on. I mean, stuff happens to everybody. And that's the part that I said, again, the internship, the on-the-job site training, what goes into it. You know, it's like the other day when my wife was making something that her mother makes every Christmas, and she was trying to make it for Christmas. And she's been in that house her whole life. And it didn't come out right. And she was all, you know, bent out of shape and blah, 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 because this was the Christmas and my mom is here and, you know, they were trying to do this. And her mother said to her on the phone, I didn't say it, I heard her mother say it to her on the phone, you didn't pay attention all these years? It's the simplest thing. I think that the excuses and the reasons sometimes that they're given and that we give them are preposterous. I mean, at some point it's just buckle down. Get it done.
Yeah, but
stop making excuses.
You got to remember that, you know, the women are the weaker vessel. So they're not going to approach it. You know, and I'm not making another excuse for them.
No.
I know you think of him, but.
Right. No,
you
got to
remember
that
they're not going to approach it the same way as us strong, head of household men, get it done, get her done, whatever you want to call it. They're not going to approach it the same way. They're just like, I can't do it.
Well, then if they're gonna do that, then this is what I would say to her. Then in some of these other areas where you want to have your chest all poked up and taking in extra air and telling me what you can and can't do, you need to quiet down. You need to sit down.
Exactly.
You need to go ahead and be that lesser vessel or that weaker vessel in that situation. You can't pick and choose when you want to be strong and when you want to be weak. That's whack.
And I co-sign that, brother.
You know, and I think that's the thing that sometimes gets me, and I'm trying to be the best husband I can, father, and all that. But that's the thing that gets me. It's like you can pick and choose when I'm weak and when I'm strong and when I'm going to tell you what you can do with yourself and when I won't tell. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, either you this or you that. But don't be jumping back and forth.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Do that.
And I think sometimes as guys, we give
them these excuses and reasons. Well, oh, you know, their body changes and, you know, life comes at them and the kids are calling. Well, man, who cares? The kids are calling for me. My body's changing too. I'm getting old. I'm doing things. I'm still out there shoveling snow in this heart attack snow. I'm doing all of that. You know, and I guess that's just it. I know I'm that voice on the call. I don't do well with excuses. That's all it is. I just don't. Excuses, reasons, obligations. You know, it's like my grandmother used to say, if you're multitasking, you're doing something wrong. Focusing on one thing at a time and get it done.
Mm.
And get it done. And in this aspect of what we're talking about with this crystal ball and this call, whether it's sex, whether it's communication, whether it's whatever it may be, it's our relationship with each other. And I think sometimes what ends up happening is the excuse is, you know, honey, it's hard for me to focus in on you because I got all these other things going on. Come on. But you knew that. That's what marriage is. It's all these other things and me. But I come first, right? Behind God.
Supposed to.
I should be right there.
Mm-hmm.
I should be first.
Technically.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's the part that gets me. That's the part that gets me. That's the part that gets me. We have this nice ceremony in the church. Everybody there skipping and frolicking. We in the front saying vows, pointing and shouting out people, dancing. And then when we get to the nitty gritty of it, you overwhelmed? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, why are you on the bench if you're not ready to get in the game?
But, brother, I think a lot of people, men and women, are overwhelmed in the marriage. Because it is work, and as I stated, you know, at 9:02, marriage, this thing is a job. I mean, it and it's worthwhile work. Don't get me wrong, but it is a challenge. And some women, some men is like, man, this is not what I envision. And a lot of people, you know, my wife says all the time, you know, a lot of people, yeah, anybody can have a wedding, but to have a marriage, now that's something different. I mean, that's a totally different ballgame. You can have a big party and everybody be laughing and smiling, but when the lights dim and everything is over and you come back off the honeymoon, it's like it's time to play ball.
Yeah, come back off the honeymoon and your sex is cut in half.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Get in your last 2 hours because it's about to be cut in half.
You already cut this thing short.
That's good.
That's not good, man.
That's funny. Yeah, so, you know, anybody got any more monkey wrenches? I know there's another one out there. I can smell it.
Yeah, I had one. I got to think of it again.
You got to think of it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's good for us to, you know, to think if we were to go back,
yeah,
you know, what would we do? And now we know what we would do and what we wouldn't do.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's
pretty much.
I mean, if you don't mind getting off to the next topic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hold on. I got a monkey wrench, and I don't know. Is Brian still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
I just want to ask, I want to go back to your point, brother, that you said when your wife told you that, you know, she married the wrong man.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if that was in your crystal ball and you were here at the point today, you would have probably said, nah, I know, I mean, I'm not the right man, so why would I marry her? But I'm sure you've got some growth out of her telling you that. And then how many years, you say, 16 years later?
Oh, yeah.
That y'all still in it?
Oh, yeah. And it's better now than it was then.
Say that.
Yeah. It's better now than it was then, because back then, man, it was straight up hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things
have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Puff, puff, pass.
Pump, pump, pass. You know that's right, Andrew.
But I say that, brothers, you know, to say that I'm glad we don't have the crystal ball because we would have been running and making excuses. You know, as somebody just said, excuses. We've been making it. Oh, no, I ain't marrying her. No, look at that. Look at that in the crystal ball. Look at that. Look at that weight gain. Look at that attitude. Look at she ain't give me nothing no more. I mean, it's so many. But when you look at it, when you do look at it, marriage is such a blessing.
Yes,
marriage is such a blessing. And I think Tony said it last week is that if you're married, cherish your wife because, I mean, we have it's guys out there who don't have somebody that loves them, that cooks for them, you know, or whatever the case may be. They don't have nobody. And you got somebody, and And we have to, you know, I say look at the positives over the negatives, because when it all weighs out, when you put it on paper, I'm sure the positives will outweigh the negatives when it comes to your wife.
Rodney, you got to say that again.
Yeah, I mean, and it's 10:50. It's almost time for us to wrap this up. But I think that a lot of times we look for, oh, well, she's not doing this, or she hadn't done this lately, or she used to do this. But when it comes, it's, I mean, that's the mother of your children. You know, she's, I mean, hopefully you ain't got to worry about her stepping out on you. I mean, really, I mean, that it's just so much that we can be thankful for and be grateful for. And, you know, I try to look at the positives, you know, over the negatives, because when, you know, the negatives ain't that much. You know, and I said that before, that, you know, you ain't getting it, you know, as much as you want. Hey, you know, you got a wife. I mean, you married her. I mean, so, I mean, you married her for a reason. So, I mean, you got somebody that you can say, that's my wife. And, I mean, you're proud of, you know, that she's on your arm, or the mother of your children, or whatever the case may be. So we need to be more grateful, fellas.
That's yeah, and let me touch on something that you did say about the crystal ball. And I honestly believe that if there was a crystal ball prior to, or not even a crystal ball, but if there was good intel in reference to marriage, there would be less divorces.
Amen.
Because, and the reason why I say that is because if you know what you're signing up for in advance, if you truly know, and if you're not committed to it, then you won't sign up for it.
Right.
Then
like
you won't jump out.
It's like Carfax.
Then you won't bail out.
It's like
Carfax. Then you
right.
won't bail out. Most divorces are because when people got in the mix, they said, whoa, I'm not doing that. Oh, I'm not signing up for this. You didn't read that fine print to me. I'm out of here. On both sides, male and female.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you knew that the sex is going to change, kids are going to try to divide you, the bills are going to drive you crazy, you know what I'm saying? You may lose your house, you may lose your job, you got to be there for sickness, and you got to, maybe one day you got to change their underwear or diaper or whatever the case may be. All these things that, you know, that come with the whole package. If you knew that up front and you knew that you weren't made, that's not your makeup, then you probably wouldn't sign up for it. Then there would be no divorce.
And
only the true ones that say, listen now, only the ones that say, I will die for you. Those are the ones that make it in marriage, because they don't care about any of the fine print. They're in it to win it.
That's it. And that's a real good point, man. You know, I tell you one thing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't want to. Because I wouldn't want to have to go through the same things that I went through once before. So I do everything in my power to keep what I have and not have to do a lot of different things, you know, to make it continually work. And, you know, things are, you know, there are still issues, okay? There are still things going on. You know, I still don't get, you know, intimacy as much as I would like. But is my mindset still like it used to be, that I would contemplate going out and getting something else? No, it's not. So, yeah, I do understand. But it's real, man.
It's real.
Real.
It's really real.
Yeah. And you know what you signed up for.
Yeah, man, I know what you signed up for. And I tell you, I'm glad it worked out, because I don't think I could do it again, bro. And I'd probably be in hell burning because I love booty. And I'd be out there hitting everything moving. And I'd be burning.
Oh, man. But that goes to the next monkey wrench. And we talked about this a lot. That goes to the 80-20 rule. In your crystal ball, did you have the 80-20 rule in that? Did you have that, okay, if I can get 80 from my wife, out of the 20, I can handle. And the 20 doesn't have to be an actual woman, because I live by the 80-20 rule. Because at one time, I don't think I was giving my wife 100%. Because those weeks where you get those week off or those couple of days off, you know, my 20 was Porto. That was one thing I didn't give up.
Right.
That was one thing, you know, that, hey, you know, if my wife is tripping, hey, I got my porno, I'm good. But you don't know how that affects you later on, because next thing you know, you become an addict.
Yeah, and I think what it all boils down to, fellas, is communication. And, you know, it's that lack of intimacy in the bedroom is because of your lack of intimacy at the dinner table, over breakfast, sitting on the couch. I mean, that's where it starts. You know, it's not just, oh, let's get it on. You got to get that communication, that healthy dialogue. And, you know, sometimes it is difficult.
But haven't we got away from that in marriage? I mean, how many people sit at, you know, whole family sits at the table with the TV off and not answering the phone when it rings?
Yeah, and I'll tell y'all something, fellas. You know, I've been on here, it is almost a year, you know, every Tuesday night. But, you know, I would say that lately my wife and I have been having some issues. And I say that because my communication style has been in the past very passive. I let a lot of things go. I just like, yeah, whatever. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to express myself or whatever. And because of these calls, I've actually been expressing myself. And I've been expressing myself without anger, you know, in a way that is after it's over, it's healthy. But, you know, as we're going through it, it's like things happen, and I don't let it slide anymore. I'm like, you know what? I've been feeling this way. And it's like, what? You know, it comes out of nowhere, because previously I would have never said anything. So, assumably, everything was cool. But the whole thing about it is that there's no growth without conflict. And, you know, I've been feeling, you know, and my wife's been feeling that we don't have that intimacy. Like, she can't come with me and tell me everything that she's feeling, and I couldn't come to her with everything that I was feeling. And I was like, after being on these calls, it was phony to me. I was like, we need to stop being phony. You know, we're in this, you know, blood in, blood out. We need to step up to the plate and say, you know, if you got something to say, let me know. Yeah, it may be hurtful. Or if I got something to say, but get it out, you know, and – like it's helped us grow closer, but again, fellas, going through it, I mean, it's been rough. You know, holidays are here, and it's like, you know, we're just not talking, and it's like, but now, you know, on the other side, it's like, I'm glad I share my, I'm glad I express my feelings, because before I would have just said, hey, yeah, whatever, you know, I just keep it to myself and just, you know, just keep it locked in and won't tell her how I'm feeling, but that wasn't helping our relationship grow. We were just stagnant. You know, but now we're taking, you know, baby steps as far as the communication and intimacy level, you know, goes, because we were just dealing, you know, on the surface. We wouldn't really dig deep, you know. So, and even Tony said, you know, when you get on this thing, it's like you're going to have some trials and tribulations, you know, because it helps your relationship, you know, being on here on Tuesday nights. It definitely helps your relationship. And it's not going to be easy, but it's worthwhile, and to me, I would, you know, I have any regrets of, you know, saying what I had to say, because it was warranted, and, you know, and my wife feels that, you know, like that I'm actually being honest with her, whereas before, you know, I wasn't. So, you know, I just say, you know, you got to get that healthy dialogue back, man, and that's the whole point of being on here on Tuesdays.
Good words. Amen to that.
None of that.
I think it's helped a lot of us. I mean, you know, a lot of times, like me, I got into marriage. This is my second time. And even getting into it, I still didn't know what was technically expected of me, you know. And, you know, I needed a wake-up call. I needed somebody to tell me, nah, man, that ain't cool. Nah, the way that you've been doing it ain't cool. Nah, dummy, you failed the first time, so you're getting ready to fail the second time. This is what you need to do. You know, and I had to put my guard down and learn to listen. And I got on this call, man, and I thought that I knew what I knew, and then I, you know, and brothers was getting on here, you know, talking about their stories and what they were doing and how they found success. And I was like, well, maybe I should try that. But the biggest key that I picked up, if I could put my finger on anything, is like Rodney said, is the communication. And the one thing about women, they don't always want you to give them the answer. They just sometimes they just want you to listen to them.
Yeah, you could say that again.
You know what I mean? They don't really, some all of the time, just like us, I'm not asking you for advice. I just want
intimacy
you to listen.
Intimacy and communication.
That's what it is. I just want to listen. You know what I mean? And we get people to get on this call, and sometimes they just listen. We're like, well, why won't you? But we understand why they don't say anything, because they just want to suck it in, just like we have. You know, but you, when it comes to your wife, sometimes they just sit back and listen. Even if you're not interested, just show them that you, I mean, just eye contact. Your mind could be 100 miles away. Hope she don't try to quiz you. But anyway, you know, just listen, you know. And that's one of the things that I learned, was to just listen to my wife. And then when she talked, then I knew what she wanted, and then I acted on that.
And
you
I must
know,
be
so
totally honest with you. That's what saved my marriage, man, is when I actually started listening to her.
Yep.
Because before, when she would say something, I had already had the answer before she said it. So basically,
yep,
I couldn't hear nothing she was saying. But when I started listening, then things started changing.
Yep. And you know what? You're right, because that's the mistake that I made, because I would try to have the answer. I would try to be the man. Well, yeah, I got that. I got that worked out. But the things that I had worked out was my things. My answers that suited me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It didn't have anything to do with what she wanted.
Absolutely.
And sometimes she'd be like, they'd be like, okay, yeah, all right, I hear you, blah, blah, blah. But we're not really being considerate of their wants and needs.
There you go. You're so right.
You know, because I've been accused of being selfish, and, you know, we always go to the places to eat that I want to eat. We always go out to do certain things that I want to do. You know what I mean? Because I was that answer guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I had to back up and listen and then be like, well, no. Whatever you want to do is what we're going to do. And then I'd have to insist it. You know, and that's what helped me as well.
Yeah, and this marriage thing, man, it, you know, unfortunately it doesn't come with a crystal ball, fellas. You know, it's no manual, you know, but it's the same thing with raising kids. If y'all got kids, it's like, I mean, you just jump in, you know, both feet, you know, and it's like, you know, just make it happen. And I think that a lot of times we get, you know, down on ourselves, you know, more as husbands than fathers, because it's like, you know, we have that relationship with our children and we think that, you know, that is pretty much a strong bond. But when it comes to our spouse, it's like, you know, it could be better. We could do this. We can do that or whatever. We always, you know, are
analyzing.
Exactly. We're analyzing it. And, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, like Tony said, I mean, it's all about communication, and, you know, and the whole thing about it is everybody gets a different manual. You know, it's like, you know, I might use, you know, say, Tony, you know, what you got on page chapter such and such or whatever, you know, that I can use or whatever, but everybody's manual is not going to be the same, but, you know, it's doable, you know, and it's a challenge, but it's a worthwhile challenge, and it's worthwhile work, so it can be done, fellas. It can be done.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to summarize tonight's call, I can start off saying that it really is a good thing that we didn't have a crystal ball, because then we would have missed out on this blessing that we got with these women.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because I'm pretty sure that, you know, in this stage of our marriage, we all know that we got the right one, hopefully. But we probably wouldn't have if we'd had those crystal ball prerequisites. You know what I'm saying? So at least we didn't know, because we probably would have missed out on, you know, what we have now.
Worse.
Yep. Anybody else? Summary?
It's a rough go. I'll say this. I think that, you know, particularly when I think about marriage and just all the things that we talk about, for some reason, it just seems like it doesn't have to be as complex and as complicated as it has to be. It seems like it should be very, very cut and dry. You know, this is, and maybe this is just me being, as I've said before, immature in my growth and still trying to develop. But it seems like, you know, there's a lot of obstacles and hurdles that are out there in general. But we put a lot of them
in our own way, and it doesn't have to be that way. It seems like it should be a lot easier. And when you think about the crystal ball, I mean, the whole concept behind that is to be able to see into the future so that maybe you would be able to avoid some of those pitfalls and some of those things. And it's maybe it's not necessarily just saying, oh, I wouldn't marry this person or oh, I wouldn't go down this road. But when I get to this road at this point, it's kind of like playing a video game. At this point, I know this man's going to jump out at this point, so I got to be ready. Or I got to be ready to run through this door. You know, so hopefully, you know, you'll be able to learn and grow and make the steps moving forward a little bit easier. And I think sometimes that's the part that is just, you know, it's rough to grasp. It's like, why am I making it complex, you know? Why are we making it complex? Some of these little things like being able to talk and communicate and discuss things is, you know, that's common sense. You know, talking about your feelings, I mean, you would hope it's common sense. And I know that things come at you and it becomes hard for you to be able to express, especially if you've been hurt or misled or misguided. But it's necessary and essential for a marriage particularly to be able to be at 100%. But it's just unfortunate sometimes that we create more obstacles for ourselves.
Yep.
That's what I got to add.
Good words. Well, if not, see if anybody's got an open mic. We have a little open mic. See if anybody's got anything off the topic base, if they want to throw out there, get some feels on.
Nobody?
It's okay. It's still the holiday season, man. People
are
in the bed.
Yeah. So. This is your time. If you got something that's not pertaining to the topic of the evening, put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You got
mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 perspectives for free.
mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I have to say this was a solid call.
Yeah.
And
definitely was.
You know, I guess I'm more silent because things are going better in my relationship. So I don't have anything that's too much to say except we can still always learn to listen. I mean, I might have slipped this out before. Intimacy and communication and listening is what gets us more sex. I think listening to my wife more got a little bit better after the fact. Because in her mind, I was communicating better.
And listening is part of communication.
Right. Instead of just providing suggestions and answers, I'm quick to do that. And then, you know, still trying to take the lead in sex at the end of the night. But this crystal ball thing is really huge, man, because you think about it at the end of the day. And I might have told somebody this the other night. If I would have known I would have been in this spot right here in Waldorf, Maryland, right now, at the age that I am, with the house that I have, the kids that I have, and the job that I have, I would have jumped at this a long time ago. But you never know where your relationship is going to go with the woman that you have. And you know that you have a great wife when, regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what you go through, if it's good or bad, if you lose a job, or if you have to take another job, or if you have to compromise on money, at the end of the day, if your wife says, I got your back, you have a great relationship.
Yep, good words. And I learned
one thing, man. What I realized so far is that, you know, some things, you know, I mean, I listen to my wife and I hear what she has to say now. But I also have to realize that in listening, you know, sometimes you have to stand firm on what it is that you believe, because if you compromise on everything, man, they're going to look at you as being weak, and it could be potentially become a bigger problem, man. So I have to pick my battles sometimes, you know, on one of the things that that I hear, and I have to know what it is that I'm going to let go of and what I'm not going to stand for.
Oh, well, yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, my motto is I got two marriage breakers. You know, we have 10 arguments. I had two of them. You know, I'll let you win all 8 of them. I'll compromise and break down on 8 of them. But there's going to be two I call marriage breakers that I'm going to fight to the end till it goes my way, because I just don't think this situation is going to come out right if it's not done my way. And luckily I haven't had too many of those lately, but there are some where you got to take a stand as a man and just say, hey.
Exactly. You have to, because if you don't, man, you can get fucked over real easy.
It's not going down like this.
You see, I married a real strong woman, man, and I'm going to tell you something, bro. You don't have no cut cards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's cut and dry with her, man. You know, so if you weak, you will walk over.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because you know we have some pretty, some of us have some pretty domineering women, man. You may not want to admit it, but we do. You know, and they insist upon having that way because they're used to getting that way, and we break down sometimes and give them that way, and we give them their way and probably too much sometimes, and it become more of a detriment than anything, you know. You got to be real careful with that.
You got to meet them in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to let them have it. You got to let them have it most of the time. Because they got to win some of the time. That's just their makeup.
Yes, exactly.
But it's got to be half the time.
Yeah, not on everything, man.
Yeah, not on everything. But you can't deprive of that. Because if that's who they are, they that strong, independent, strong-minded woman, you got to let them still have it. But you still got to let them know that there are some guidelines here.
You know, and the sad part about it is that, you know, you made a good point. A lot of the women that we meet are independent. And a lot of them that we've met were doing their own thing before you met them, made their own way, had their own money. And now I'm gonna get into a marriage where a man gonna tell me what to do.
and Brian, guess what? Was attracted to them.
You know that.
We always wanted a woman that had her own spot, had her own money, had her own car, had her own everything. That's what we wanted. But when we jump into a marriage with them, it's like, oh no, we done messed up.
Oh wow. It's a whole different story then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to go through that breaking, man, and dealing with that. And it's not easy, man. It's not easy, you know. Believe me, not easy.
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, with that same crystal ball, you know, if we had the opportunity to look at that crystal ball now with that lady that we didn't marry, might be a lot worse off. You might have
been. Wait a minute, throw that one out there again.
I said, if you were to look at the crystal ball and you would have gotten married, you know, to somebody else, and how your future would have played out, you might be a lot worse off than you know, if your situation is that catastrophic. But you might be, you know, on your way out of a divorce right now. But at least with this one, you're still married.
Well, I agree with you, too. I agree with you with that, because I'm going to be totally honest with you, man. I grew up in the hood, you know, that's where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? That's all I knew. And in marrying my wife, man, she actually caused me to think outside the box and see differently. Because I was more or less the type of person, man, that, you know, I'm from my hood, that's where I'm at, that's where my people are, that's where I'm gonna be at, you know what I'm saying? So and that was my mindset at one time for a long time. And to be totally honest with you, I would rather live in the city you know, near the gunshots and nonsense. I mean, that was my mentality then. But she showed me a lot of different things. You know, she made me think outside of the box. And I must honestly say that because, you know, I wouldn't be living in, you know, the suburbs where I live at now and living in the type of home that I live in now because it was never my mentality. Never was the way that I thought. So, like you said, if we look into a crystal ball, we really don't know, you know, what we were going to see or if we would have saw it down the line. But then it wouldn't have been any fun if I would have had the opportunity to see it outright. None at all. So I had a jacked up mentality at one time, man. So, I mean, she's really caused me to think outside the box and see things a lot different. So I give her credit to that, you know, to that degree, you know. Can I honestly say that?
Your wife literally may have saved your life.
Oh, I know she did. I know she did because, you know, myself, I had a hood mentality, man. I mean, it didn't matter. All of my friends were hustlers and drug dealers and everything you could possibly imagine. Okay, you know, I grew up in the hood in Baltimore. You know, I moved in Southeast D.C., lived in Southeast D.C. for years, moved from there to Capitol Heights. You know what I mean? You name it, man. All I seen was nonsense, you know. But I met a woman that had a different lifestyle. And it was something that attracted me to her. And when I met her, I knew that was my wife when I met her. You know, she knew that I was going to be her husband, actually. And I ran from before, like two and a half years, man, before I married her, you know. But what God had in store and the change that he, you know, that he brought was like, wow, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I've achieved a lot of stuff I've never seen myself achieving if I would have, you know, continued down the path that I was going, you know. So, like you said, save your life was probably an understatement. Yeah,
powerful.
Yeah, on that note, I will say that, you know, for most of us, it really takes a strong woman.
No doubt.
You know, weak women, and there are some pushover women, and there's some pushover men too, but pushover women really don't last that long.
Not at all.
Correct.
Nope.
They don't last long.
Because you don't respect.
Yeah, you don't respect them. So it takes a strong woman to put up with most of us.
And that's the truth.
Yeah. And one that, just like he said, a woman that demands respect.
Oh, yeah.
Some women just don't demand respect. They just don't. You can see, you know, look, you look at how these women wear their clothes and they do this and the way they carry themselves out in the street. They don't demand any respect. So they get none. And half of them don't get married. You know what I mean? But the woman that marries, that we marry, demands respect.
Yeah. And mine's definitely demanded respect, man. And to be totally honest with you, man, like I said, she showed me how to see things from a different perspective. You know, I mean, I work for somebody now, but when I started, you know, in business, you know, I do a lot of home improvements and replacement windows, decks, finished basements. I do air conditioning, my air conditioning license, air conditioning heating. And all of these things, but I was doing those things under the table, making money. But then it came to a point where she demanded that I get the proper licenses because she wasn't going to have anybody knocking on our door talking about we owe this or you owe that or it's going to come down like that. You know, she wanted it or somebody try to sue you because of something that you did that wasn't, you know, that wasn't correct, you know. So, I mean, yeah, she really caused me to think outside the box, man, when I would have just continued on making that money under the table, you know. Absolutely.
Good words, good words. Well, gentlemen, it was a great call again.
Yeah.
Great call again. We got some radio airtime tonight.
Awesome.
Good call. Next week we'll be right back on.
Yeah.
WNJRNewark.com.
Right.
That's the hottest internet radio station on the planet right now. And it's all good for head of household.
Hey, one more thing, fellas. I have to apologize. That was me that caused that echo effect because my buddy wanted to get on the call, and what I did was I called him, and I clicked him in on the join three-way thing, and that's where the echo effect came. So I had to hang up.
Oh, okay.
He's going to join us next week, though. You know.
That's what's up. We thanks for the
yeah,
referral,
that's what's
man.
Up. That's
hey,
what's
just
up.
Make sure he said, you put his email address on the head of household website. That way he can get the topic next week.
Yeah, he'll get him every week.
Yeah, he's a brother that's going through a lot of changes, man, and, you know, with his wife and all kinds of nonsense. So he was really, you know, trying to get in. So I told him I'd set him up, you know, next week. You know,
for sure. Okay. Okay, good. Well, we definitely appreciate the referral.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt.
Okay, fellas, well, it's all good tonight. Next week's topic, who knows? If anybody's got any topic ideas, just email them or give one of us a call so we can make it happen. But anyway, again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for the folks that were on the chat room, too. I appreciate it.
Happy New
Year. Happy New Year to all you fellas.
Happy New Year, fellas. All right.
Hey, and just think, the next time will be our one-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Next month.
Yep.
So we're going into a new year.
2010.
This is a good thing.
Okay, fellas.
All right.
Be cool, right?
All right.
Tomorrow, Tom.